2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
This is a pre-recorded program presented by KSL News Radio and Intermountain Healthcare.
Healthy Mind Matters, brought to you by Intermountain Healthcare. We discuss the important community issues of stronger mental health, emotional wellness, and the growing problem of addiction. Here's our host, Maria Chaleos, on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Thank you for joining us for Healthy Mind Matters. Today we are talking about the emotional well-being of children, especially in this pandemic that we are surviving. With me today is Dr. Annie Deming. She's a psychologist at Intermountain Primary Children's Center for Counseling. You say talk about it in the positive, and I just kind of talked about it with kind of a negative hint there, Dr. Deming. I didn't mean to do that, but it is tough. We are facing challenges, and it is stressful. Talk about teenagers, though. Teenagers are a whole different ballgame. They face a whole different types of challenges. Describe for us what you see teenagers going through at this point.
So teens in particular are, you know, extremely social, and they need that social interaction for healthy development. I mean, all kids need that, but developmentally, teens are getting to a point where they're sort of moving a bit more away from their family unit as far as wanting to spend time outside of the house with friends on a frequent basis. And that's just so difficult now with all of the, you know, restrictions and health concerns that we have. And then the other piece is that things are just so different for them within their school setting as well. So, you know, team sports are, there's lots of different things that are happening with team sports. School attendance is also, you know, kind of up in the air. Things like proms and graduation and all of those sort of normal milestones that teens look for and look toward and forward to may or may not happen. Those are the things that teens kind of hang on to as benefits of going through high school. And high school can be quite stressful, but some of those things help, I think, teens feel more positive about their experience. So they're losing a lot of what would be a normal high school experience, and that's very difficult. So we're seeing stress, we're seeing a lot of sadness, we're seeing some anger about those things, and some teens are struggling with depression in addition to all of that.
I think the unknown is probably one of the more difficult for a lot of us. How do parents deal with that? I mean, they don't know what it's going to look like exactly when their kids go back to school or when they're going to go back to school.
Yes, exactly. And it keeps changing. I mean, I think that's so hard. You know, we in all the different districts in our area are doing different things. And the uncertainty is there. So, you know, I think it's so important to acknowledge that uncertainty and just to say, yeah, this is hard and we don't know what's going to happen. You know, we'll find out over time. We'll get more and more information over time. We'll understand more and more about this disease over time. But I think the important piece is really to validate our teens and let them know, yeah, I mean, this is hard for everybody and I recognize how hard it is for you.
This is a point in time where teens are becoming more independent, maybe going into their room and taking shelter, and that may not be a good thing at this point in time. Those conversations need to take place, right?
Yes, definitely. So we have to make sure that teens aren't getting overly isolated. I mean, sure, with the social distancing practices, they're more isolated than they have been in the past. But spending, you know, a full day in your bedroom is not healthy for anybody. So that would be a time to sort of structure your family situation so that you can spend more time together sort of in common areas of the house or, you know, going for a walk or something like that. Yeah, we want to go away from the isolation and at the same time, making sure that our teens can connect with their friends virtually. That's very important for them.
Right. Well, that's important. Social media is causing challenges of its own. What should parents watch out for?
Right. So parents should watch out for, I mean, just spending all day, you know, on social media or checking it every second, you know, to see if you had a like or a response or whatever on what you posted. There should be downtime from technology. And we do encourage that, you know, social media and phones and things are not in bedrooms at night. It does seem to be helpful to have that limit set. But certainly allowing more flexibility during the pandemic is sort of necessary, because they do need that connection because they're not getting it in person.
So teens, like all of us, are seeing a lot of different things on social media. You talked about misinformation earlier and having that conversation with younger children. But I'm wondering what the conversation looks like with a teenager, because we don't know exactly what they're seeing. So how do we go about having a conversation with our teenagers about what they're seeing on social media? Because if you say, hey, what are you seeing on social media? I'm not sure you're going to get the response that you really need.
Right, exactly. So I think it's important to sit down with them and say, hey, let's look at your feed, or let's look at, you know, the sites that you typically visit. You know, if you allow them to be the expert for a little bit and show you what they're experiencing and what they're thinking, that will allow you to learn about kind of their perspective and also give you that opportunity to correct any misinformation or misperceptions that they might have. But it's always important to do that in a very gentle way. You know, it shouldn't come from a place of anger or I can't believe you're on that website or, you know, anything like that. It's more about, hey, let's look at all this together. I'm really interested in what you're looking at and what you're interested in. And then that will just open up that conversation.
Right. We see the extremes on social media. It's either all the happy stuff that a family is experiencing and there's nothing wrong in the world, or the opposite. And we know that teens find validation. I think maybe we all do a little bit with our friends on social media. So what does that conversation look like as far as the identity of teenagers?
I think it's important to let them know that what's shown on social media is very controlled in a lot of ways. You know, the person is putting out an impression that they want others to see, not necessarily what's based in reality. And you know, I think you can talk with the teens about, you know, you do that. You don't put that really weird picture that you and your friends took that your hair looks bad or, you know, like you have a funny facial expression. You only put the ones that you look pretty good in and that you feel really confident about. And so you can kind of connect those things and let them know that, you know, social media is a place where you can find connect. I think that's just a fact. It is, though, also a place where if you're too wrapped up in it, you can start feeling pretty badly about yourself and your family. And that's really what you need to watch out for. So if you're starting to feel that way, you know, I would ask your teens, just like, come talk to us about it. You know, we'll help navigate that.
Right. You talked about with young children how to focus on the positive. Maybe what does that look like for teenagers?
Right. So I think it's about, you know, figuring out what they need, you know, and asking, you know, so what are the things that you're missing? You know, what are the things that you're really struggling with, you know, throughout the pandemic, and then determine what they can control and do about those things. So I worked with a patient who is very into, you know, politics, and she was feeling really badly that she couldn't take part in some of the peaceful protests that were happening, but she just didn't feel she could with social distancing. So instead, she gave a portion of her paycheck to an organization that she felt really strongly about. So that was an example of something that she felt comfortable doing, and it gave her a boost, you know, okay, this is how I can contribute. So just really, again, talking and seeing, okay, what do you need, and how can we make that happen, even if it's not going to happen in the way we would want it to?
Right. Teens are always trying to push the boundaries, see where those boundaries are. And I can't imagine what it's like for a parent right now when they want to go out and play soccer out in the, you know, on the school ground with their friends, or talk about conversations about boundaries and maybe the importance of structure.
Sure. So those conversations are just essential. In different families have, you know, sort of different levels of boundaries with those types of things. And so it's important to realize that, you know, each family will look slightly different, but just talking about, okay, how in our family, these are the ways we're doing this. You know, we're not spending time with friends face to face. We're only doing virtual interaction. I don't allow my kids to go to the grocery store with me, for example. Like, that's just something that they're not doing right now. So it's just important to lay out those boundaries very clearly, so that there's not as much room for, although will be from our teens most likely, and that's their job. So it's okay that they're pushing those boundaries. That's what they should be doing developmentally. But then just kind of giving them a different way, a different option. So you can't go, you know, hang out with your friends at the park, but you know, we can plan a nice Zoom meeting where you guys can all get together and, you know, talk about what you want to talk about. So offering an alternative.
Right. Again, back to that, being a little bit more creative in trying to offer alternatives for them. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about structure. We're all headed back to school. Well, hopefully we're headed back in some form or another. And I think it's important maybe that we talk about structure in the family and how that will help children succeed this school year. And you're listening to Healthy Mind Matters on KSL News Radio. We'll be right back.